St. Stephen, before his conversion, was a Jew, and he was probably from amongst the Hellenist Jews, that is, the Jews influenced by the Greeks. His name, Stephen, is a Greek name, a name of Greek origin, and he would likely have been of the dispersion, that is, the Jews from outside of Judea. We learn about St. Stephen, as we read today, from the Acts of the Apostles, which is a historical book recording the occurrences in the early church. And St. Stephen, very, very, very interesting. He was the first martyr, so he has the title of proto-martyr, meaning the first martyr. And like when you have any group of people, there were some troubles in the early church. So the Hellenist Jews, or the Greek type of Jews, who had converted to Catholicism, were complaining against the Hebrew Jews who had converted. They were saying that their widows were not receiving equal treatment when the goods were given out. In the early church, it was common that when a wealthy person converted, they would give all their excess wealth to be distributed to the poor. And so the Hellenist Jews, the Hellenist converts, were complaining that our widows are being treated unfairly. They're not receiving as much as the Hebrew widows. And so the apostles got everybody together, called the faithful together and said, we have to focus on prayer and preaching and study. And so we want you to choose 7 men who can take care of the charitable works of the church. So they chose 7 individuals, Philip and Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, and Stephen. And like our bishops do today, the Acts of the Apostles tells us how they laid hands on them, prayed, and ordained them deacons, these first 7 deacons, amongst whom was St. Stephen. Now, St. Stephen, as good men often do, soon ran into trouble. He was very eloquent. It's thought that he was highly educated, perhaps alongside St. Paul. And in his arguments with the Jews, they could not win an argument against him. So eventually they accused him in front of the Sanhedrin, which was the high court of the Jewish people, same just like our Lord had been called before them. And the same as with Christ, they called false witnesses to accuse him of blasphemy. They weren't able to argue against him, so they attacked his person, accused him of blasphemy with false witnesses. He spoke in front of that court in his own defense, and he gave a long defense, which can be read in the Acts of the Apostles, and he shows there his knowledge of sacred scripture and of history. And we read that everybody that sat looked on his face and saw it like the face of an angel. So he spoke with a lot of power and knowledge and spirit. And eventually, it was too much for them. They were unable to beat him in argument. He was using the scriptures of the Jews against them, or to prove that Christ was the true Messiah. And so they plugged their ears. They weren't going to have it. And they dragged him outside the city to stone him, which was the punishment for blasphemy. And so they did. And they stoned him. And while they did so, again, like our Lord, St. Stephen prayed for them. He said, repeated those words of our Lord, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And then he asked God that their sin would not be held against them. This was in the year 36 AD, so just 3 years after Christ died. And there's a saying that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. That is, the more the church was persecuted, the more it grew. That God blessed the sacrifice that those men and women in the early church made. And their sufferings for him had value in his sight. And we see this in the case of St. Stephen. So it mentions in the epistle that those who were stoning him laid their outer garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. Saul, of course, was to become St. Paul when his name was changed at his baptism. He was a very zealous Pharisee. He himself tells us in his epistles how he consented to the death of Stephen. And he became one of the most aggressive and active persecutors of Christianity. He thought they were wrong. They should be punished. He pursued them even from Jerusalem to other cities. He was one of the most feared persecutors. Of course, we know the story of how he was knocked off his horse and converted instantly. We have to wonder if Saint Stephen had not prayed for them, prayed for his murderers while he was dying, would Saint Paul have been converted? And how many people was Saint Paul responsible for bringing to God? His travels are amazing. If you ever see a map of the routes he did from Jerusalem out, I think as far as Spain, Rome, South Asia, or the around Greece, Turkey, that area. And again, several times. Perhaps the most influential man in the spread of Christianity in history. St. Paul, interesting, just a side note, he was converted instantly. But before he began preaching, he spent 2 years in the desert in prayer preparing. A fact that's kind of often overlooked. But that aside, we see in this example the reality of the grace that sacrifice earns. That when these men gave their life and women gave their life in the early church, God appreciates that very much. They held in the highest regard what was most important. They put God first. They put him first, and for this he blessed them. And we also see St. Stephen in, you know, just 3 years after the beginning of the church, he was a success of Christianity. He was what a Christian should be. He acted like Christ would have acted in the same circumstances. He cooperated with God's grace. He loved his enemies. He prayed for those who persecuted him. He was falsely accused and tried, and yet had nothing but charity for those who did this to him. And God's grace strengthened him to meet these trials and meet these difficulties courageously. He was human, just like we are. But God's grace strengthened him. And he shows the truth of Christ's words. Christ foresaw every difficulty that would come for his people, that would come in the coming generations. And St. Stephen was a living example of the truth of what Christ said. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. When they pull you in front of kings and princes, he had said to his apostles, do not think beforehand what you will say. I will give you the words in that time. Love your enemies. Do good to those who persecute you. Pray for them who calumniate you. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. St. Stephen is a living example of the truth of all these things that our Lord said. And that's what it is to succeed as a Christian, is to replicate Christ's life in our life. We should behave the way he would behave in our shoes. And that's accomplished by having our priorities the same as his priorities, our ideas matching his ideas. That's what we should be aiming at, to be a reflection of Jesus Christ. That's the goal of the sacraments, the goal of the Mass, the goal of the decorations, to bring a person into union with God and make them Christ-like. And the examples of the saints, St. Stephen and all the other saints down through the generations, are very useful for us to study because they show Christ's life applied in different walks of life. Mothers and fathers, and clergy, religious, all different professions, they give us examples of what Christ's life lived looked like, of what lived Christianity looks like. So it's a very beneficial thing to study the lives of the saints, to read the lives of the saints. One of the most encouraging practices we can undertake. So let's take that example that the saints set for us and strive to live as imitators of Jesus Christ, to live as he would have lived in our shoes. And also these saints are in heaven. They've earned their reward. And so we can pray to them. We can ask them to pray for us. to obtain grace that we need, especially those saints who are in the same walk of life as we are, those saints who had the same particular calling that we had, who've gone through the things that we go through, who've faced the same trials, the same type of work that we've faced. Those especially we should take on as patrons, and we should ask their help in heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.